So that church was just abounding in love. And I think a lot of that is because of Paul, because of that serving. Not only serving, but notice with humility, lowliness of mind, humility. Oh, there is a false humility where we kind of put it on, but you can see right through that. And there's a true humility, and you don't even know you're humble because it's just a true humility. You see yourself as very prideful because you know what's inside. But in a sense, you act and you display yourself in a very humble way. And so Paul could say that about himself.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 20 with a message titled Serving with Tears and Trials.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Remember, we were in Troas last time, a couple weeks ago, and Paul was in that house. He was in the third floor where they were having a home fellowship, and they were having an all-night meeting where Paul was preaching before he left the next day. And at about midnight, there was a young boy, Eutychus. He fell out of the third floor, fell down dead. Paul went down, he laid on him, brought him back to life, and the Bible study continued until the break of day. And then you find that they leave that area there of Troas, and they go to Miletus. And so that journey that we're going to look at this morning, and we end up in Miletus, and you find, and we'll talk about it next time, they had the first pastors' leaders' conference there in Miletus with Paul. And on that way, on that journey, very interesting that they pass by a number of places. And those number of places, they're kind of renowned. Assos, that's where the temple of Athena was, and she was the goddess of wisdom and warfare. And they, as you see, I think on the map you'll see it, but we'll read it as well. And then they pass Chios, which is the birthplace of Homer, that philosopher who wrote the Iliad. Remember that poem, the Iliad? You probably had it in high school or in college where it talked about the Trojan Wars. And then Samos, that was the birthplace of Pythagoras. And if you remember him from your algebra, geometry class, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, or the Pythagorean theorem. And then finally ends up at Miletus. Miletus was a major harbor there in the Aegean Sea, and it was a great city, and that's where they had that pastor's leaders, church workers conference right there with Paul. So let's pick it up. Now he leaves Troas and verse 13, but we going ahead to the ship set sail for Assos, intending from there to take Paul on board, for so he had arranged it, intending himself to go by land. So interesting, Paul is walking. Now, it's about a 20-mile journey from where they're at, from Troas to that area of Assos, where now he gets on board ship again. But he's just walking by himself. And notice that Luke is writing, and he said, we now get on board ship. Who are the we? Well, it's Luke, and also remember the seven that were traveling with Paul and Luke as well in verse 4 of chapter 20. You could read those names again. But those seven, along with Luke, they got on board ship and they sailed. And it was about, I think, about twice as far, 20 miles by land, and I think about 35 miles or so by sea, maybe a little more than that. But they're on board ship, and they're sailing there, and Paul is walking there. I think here, Paul, I love this. I just, in my mind, I just kind of go back there. I can just think of Paul in that 20-mile walk, that 20-mile journey. I don't know if you like to get alone with the Lord and maybe walk and pray, or maybe you're a water person, you get out maybe body surfing or swimming or stand-up paddling, whatever it might be, maybe running. A lot of people like to run and maybe think about the Lord, and maybe biking. But it's so good, like Paul here, he's getting away, he's walking. What a great way to have that personal time with the Lord. Paul, all alone with the Lord. That intimate fellowship. I think we all need to get away. We need to have a private place now and then, and more often then and now than later. We need to have those places where we can go and be with the Lord all alone, that intimate fellowship where we can draw close to the Lord. And that's what Paul is doing here. I'm sure he's crying out to the Lord and maybe asking God to renew his vision, renew his calling, because it seems like everywhere he went, there was trials and afflictions. And he wants to go to Jerusalem, and he's even going to state that to those that when he's on Miletus, that trials and tribulation, afflictions are facing him there. So he's just preparing his heart in this walk. You see, we need to take in after we give out. Paul has been giving out a lot, and so now he's taking in from the Lord. With great outpouring for the Lord, like Paul, there needs to be great inpouring from the Lord in our life. We can be spent as we're pouring out our life for others and for the ministry and for the gospel, and maybe just for your family or on your job, on the work, in the work situation. But because of that, we need a great inpouring of God into our life to keep us sane and to keep us stable and to keep us walking right with the Lord. If we don't, you know, as Jesus said to the disciples, come apart with me. Let's go, you know, let's go to a lonely place to pray. You see, if we don't come apart with the Lord, we're just going to come apart. You know, it's just really that simple. You see, some of the most gifted and fruitful servants are some of the neediest saints. If God is working with you and through you, if you're a gifted person, you're fruitful in your life, you're probably one of the most needy people. You need to receive from the Lord. And sometimes we can get very weary, and usually that weariness comes because we've given the output, but we haven't gotten the input in our life. You see, if God uses you greatly and pours out your life for service for him, there needs to be that great inpouring of his life in your life. Remember when Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's being filled over and over with the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you've got power tools that use batteries, but my Makita drill, if it's used a lot, then the battery needs to be recharged a lot. If it's just sat on the shelf, well, it just occasionally needs to be recharged. You see, are we occasional recharged Christians, or are we constantly being recharged in the Lord? You see, there is a filling of the Holy Spirit in our life, and then there's subsequent fillings after that, because we're leaky vessels. We're leaky vessels. And Peter, when you look at Peter's life, Peter the apostle, three times you find in the first four chapters of the book of Acts that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's only the ones that are they're written in the scripture. How many more times was he filled? I'm sure many more times. And so we need to be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, because we just kind of, the world just kind of comes in, the duties that we have come in, and the outpouring of our life for the ministry that goes out there, we just need that input. And so here I imagine Paul alone, on foot, walking, crying out, Lord, for that fresh filling of the Lord. in his life, enjoying that intimate time that he has with the Lord in fellowship, walking along. I don't know, I just imagine Paul, because I do that. I love to do that. I mean, not as much here in Hawaii, but when I get away on vacations and I go somewhere, I love to just walk and pray. So I know what this is like. But we need a private time away all by ourselves with the Lord. Notice he goes on, so they're sailing off and Paul's walking on this journey. And when he met us at Assos, so Luke is writing again, Paul made that journey, that 20-mile journey. We took him on board and came to Miletian. So now Paul gets on board ship. And sailing from there, we arrived the following day opposite Chios. And the next day we crossed over Samos. And day following, we came to Miletus. That was where they were to go, and that's where they were to do more ministry. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus. So on that journey, they would go right past Ephesus. Remember, Paul had a great ministry in Ephesus, where he really preached. Actually, you find it in the scripture, 3 years he spent there. We find 2 years and 3 months, in one portion. But then when it goes on, we know that he spent actually a long time there. But he passes by there. And it says, so that he would not have to spend time in Asia. That's the Roman Asia, not the Eastern Asia, but in Rome, Asia area. For he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And so calling them, I think it's about 29 miles away or so, called them to be with him at Miletus. You see, Paul, in this journey and in passing by Ephesus, he was a man that was very strategic in what he did. He planned. He looked at what God had him do, and he didn't want to sacrifice the best for the good. Oh, it would have been good to stop in Ephesus and have more ministry there, but he knows that he probably would have caught up in teaching and answering questions and spending a long time there. So he passed by there for the best. What was the best? He wanted to be in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. Remember, he wanted to be there for Passover when he was in Corinth, but when he was ready to get on board ship, there was a plot against him. So he felt, hey, these guys are going to throw me overboard and kill me. And so he took a circuitous route back through Macedonia. So he missed the Passover, but now he wants to make it there to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And so it says in verse 18, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time. So here, as Paul, he's kind of laying out who he is. Sometimes in the ministry, it's more caught than taught. Just look at the minister. Just look at the guy teaching. Might be a tremendous teacher. You know, you might get a lot of inspiration from that teaching. But you see, the life that that person lives often speaks louder than words. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying that I was an example to you. I was with you. I was right there with you. I wasn't an aloof kind of leader. I wasn't distant. I wasn't detached from you, but I was right there with you. I wasn't that ivory tower kind of minister that comes in and does the ministry, and after the ministry's over, leaves the people and goes back into that ivory tower and hides out. You know, that can be true, and I know it is true. Sometimes you get a little popularity and God begins to bless, and all of a sudden you don't have time for the people. You don't have time to be there as Paul, be with them. And notice also in verse 18, he says, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. So now he's talking about his service or serving. The term there for a servant is douloi. Douloi, and it means a slave by choice. A slave by choice who's now serving the people or serving the master. Paul's master was the Lord Jesus Christ. But in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, he was serving the people. Now, one of the things that we find in the Old Testament, these slaves, they would often do their duty for a certain period of time, and then they would have to be released. Because sometimes there was indentured servanthood or indentured slavery. You'd owe money, you couldn't pay it, so you'd have to serve for that period of time. But then after that period of time, you would be released. But if you had a good master and it was time for your release and you would say, you know, I don't want to go out of your house. I love you. You've been so good to me. And yes, serving you is a joy. You've given me so much. And when I serve you, there's a joy in my heart. I don't want to go out. And so that master would say, okay, then you can be a slave or a servant by choice. And so they would take the slave and they would take the elders and the master out to the gate of the city at that meeting place of the city. And they would take a sharp awl and pierce that servant's ear. And he would be a servant with a pierced ear because he hears his master. He loves his master. I know lots of times there are guys that have pierced ears now. Sometimes they have crosses in there, but, you know, I don't know if it's for serving the Lord, but it was really something back then. It was a sign of being a slave by choice. And so it was with Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:1, he said, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Paul was a trustworthy steward or servant of the Lord. You see, all of us are building a reputation. You're building a reputation in your Christian life, good or bad. We're building a reputation as a church, good or bad. The Bible talks about they will know you by your love one for another. I think that's one of the highest marks you can have as a Christian and as a church, to know that the people love one another. And Paul in his servanthood, his servant ministry, he was modeling that love. And that was like, you know, filtering in, and by osmosis, the people were loving one another. As we were teaching through, my part was 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul just talked about their expanding, their increasing love for one another. So that church was just abounding in love, and it was excelling still more. It just kept going on and on. And I think a lot of that is because of Paul, because of that leadership of Paul, that serving. But not only serving, but notice with humility, the term there is lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind, humility. Oh, there is a false humility, where we kind of put it on, but you can see right through that. And there's a true humility, and you don't even know you're humble, because it's just a true humility. You see yourself as very prideful because you know what's inside. But in a sense, you act and you display yourself in a very humble way. And so Paul could say that about himself. I like what Charles Spurgeon, what he says, the Prince of Preachers, had one of the largest churches of the end of the 19th century going into the 20th century, end of 1800s, in the middle and the end of 1800s, the first part of 1900s. But Spurgeon says about humility, a leader who experiences some measure of success is no doubt tempted toward boastfulness and self-exaltation. But anyone who sees himself as a servant of Christ will recognize the need for humility. Such humility is not false humility, which is self-deprecating and says, I'm no good, I can't do anything, a person with true humility sees himself as Christ would see him. And one of the interesting things with Charles Spurgeon, I think the same thing with the Apostle Paul. Charles Spurgeon, when he went to London, and rather than being overjoyed by the success of that ministry, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, I think it held something like 5,000, 8,000 people. It was packed out for all the services. Just amazing. Amazing. But Spurgeon, instead of being overjoyed, he said, "I am appalled." He was appalled at himself because he felt he was just a preacher of some rural area, just a small congregation. But when it grew to the way it grew, he just felt like he was so humbled by that. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So different from in the Bible. Remember Diotrephes, who wanted to be preeminent? He loved to be first among the brethren, always pushing himself first. And he didn't want any other people to take his place, so he wouldn't let people in the church, and he wouldn't let those who had friends that had ministers come into the church and stay with them. Oh, he was so selfish, so self-deceived, so prideful. And I think Paul was a man who was truly humble, and he can say it because it was true of himself. Over a 10-year span, we can kind of pull out a scripture and see Paul's attitude toward himself. When he writes in 1 Corinthians 15:9, 55 AD, Paul says, "I am the least of the apostles who am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Then a little while later, about 6 years later, in 61 AD, in Ephesians 3:6, is when he wrote that letter, he says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." And then about 5 years later, in 66 AD, just before he was martyred for his faith, well, a little time before that, 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world and saved sinners, of whom I am the chief of all sinners." I'm the worst of the worst, Paul says.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 20, titled Serving with Tears and Trials. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 20. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.